the 2021 Chili Fest champion, Pastor Tom Ross. I told him I'd announce that, and they didn't give a very big trophy out. Ronnie Watkins said something about, could you be any more humble in the way you announced your win? And I told him, I said, well, the trophy is not big enough to really show the accomplishment. We didn't have that many entries, so anyway, I won. All right, enough of that. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Jonah chapter 2. Of course, this is Jonah praying in the belly of the great fish. And it really illustrates the importance of prayer in our lives, and especially when you're going through a difficult time. That's not the time to run away from God. That's the time to run to God. That's not the time to forsake the house of God. That's the time to go to the house of God. And you'll see that reflected in Jonah's prayer. But it says here in verse 3, it's where we left off, "For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me." While praying, Jonah recognized who had cast him into the midst of the sea. God had used the hands of the mariners to throw Jonah overboard, but it was God himself who had cast Jonah into the deep for his disobedience. So Jonah acknowledges his disobedience and his rebellion against God. He recognized this as chastisement from God. He didn't blame the mariners. He understood God was dealing with them. He recognized the justice of God in the severe chastisement that he was experiencing. He understood the laws of sowing and reaping. And Jonah does not murmur. He does not complain against the chastening hand of God. But rather he sees that God has every right to chasten him for his rebellion. He had the right attitude. When chastening comes to you, you need to respond in like manner. Rather than rebel, rather than say, Lord, this isn't fair, you ought to say, Lord, I understand now that I've been disobedient, that I've been rebellious, that I've been wrong. Forgive me. Help me. Give me grace to do better. Jonah responded that way to chastisement. He says that he had been cast into the heart of the sea. Thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas. He was 3 nights, 3 days, 3 days and nights, while in the belly of the whale, just as Jesus would later be put into the heart of the earth for 3 days and nights. In fact, again, this is a proof that Jesus believed that the account of Jonah was literally true. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40. "For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." That's significant because it tells us there's a connection between Jonah's dilemma and as an antitype of what Jesus Christ would go through. As the sea engulfed Jonah, he must have thought of the scripture in Psalm 42:7. It says, "Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me." Now that psalm, David spoke figuratively, but Jonah spoke literally. That phrase in Psalm 42 also has a messianic application. Think about this. When Jesus Christ was in the midst of His body and soul suffering on the cross, He was engulfed by the wrath of God for the sins of His people. And on the cross, I believe He suffered the equivalent of the lake of fire on behalf of His elect, while He bore our sins in His body on the tree. So the wrath of God was billowing over the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll notice also in verse 4, "Then said I, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple." Jonah felt like he'd been banished from the presence of God. Now he had at one time sought to flee the presence of God. And now he's despairing that his disobedience had separated him from the fellowship of God. And he wanted to be restored. Feelings of being cut off and cast away from the Lord are not uncommon for saints who are being chastised. David once said in Psalm 31:22, "For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplication when I cried unto thee." Psalm 31:22. I can't begin to imagine what mental anguish and deep distress of soul that must accompany the feeling of being cast out of the sight of God. Because it's in the presence of the Lord where there's fullness of joy, fellowship, spiritual strength, empowerment for service. So in light of experiencing that kind of joy, and remember, Jonah was a prophet of God. He was a man of God. He knew what it was to be close to the Lord, to walk in His ways, to be obedient. And now he's finding out what it is when you disobey God, as he did so flagrantly. When you know what it is to have joy, what a terrible state it is to feel like you've been cast out of His presence. When you have something to compare to. The lost, they don't have anything to compare to. They don't know what it is to be close to the Lord. They don't know what it is to spend sweet seasons of prayer and supplication before God's throne. They don't know what it is to have their heart cheered by the promises of God and encouraged during times of difficulty. But Jonah knew what that was. Now he's lamenting. He feels as though he's been cast out of God's sight. Now Jonah was not actually cast out of the presence of God or the sight of God. He just felt like he'd been. The momentary hiding of God's face and blessings, though, is nothing compared to the eternal anguish of those who die in their sins and go to hell to await the day of the resurrection of the damned, where they'll stand before the great white throne, where the books will be opened, their lives will be examined, and they will be assigned their place according to the justice of God in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. And just as the punishment that the beast and the false prophet received, it says that the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. That will be the finality of the infinite punishment of all who die in their sins, with their sins, who are unrepentant, who die without Jesus Christ, who die because of their wickedness and their rebellion against the holy God. It will be a righteous, a holy judgment against their sin. Sadly, a great majority of people reject the gospel as the only means of escaping. It's one of the reasons why there so many false religions have been devised to try to soothe the conscience and the heart of men, the troubled hearts of men and women. Men come up with different ways to salve their conscience through religion. Oh, well, if you'll just be baptized, that water will wash away your sins and you'll be made right with God. What a lie. H2O can't take away sins. It takes the power of the work of Jesus Christ alone. And until people bow to the authority of the gospel as revealed in the Word of God, His death, His burial, His glorious resurrection, there is no salvation. Or they come up with a whole host of rules and orders. Be baptized, be sprinkled as a baby, be confirmed at the age of 12. Say Hail Marys, go to the priest, confess every Saturday night. All of that is a system designed to ease the conscience for a while. You see, it's only the blood of the everlasting covenant can cleanse the filthy conscience of man. Only the work of Christ is the real remedy for man's sins. And nothing else. Not laws, not church regulations or standards. It's only Christ. And I tell you, when you come to that, there is such freedom and liberty in knowing that you can't save yourself, and you just simply cast yourself upon Christ. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. O Lamb of God, I come. I hope you know what it is to have real peace with God and to have the peace of God that passes all understanding. What an awful state it is, it must be, for those who are literally cast off from God in the lake of fire to be tormented forever and ever, never to know the gracious presence of a loving God. On the cross, the Lord Jesus suffered great distress of soul as He bore the sins of God's people, acting as their vicarious substitute. And in order to pay the penalty for the elect's sins, Jesus had to experience separation from the Father, which is why He cried out in great anguish of soul. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? On the cross, as he bore his people's sins in his body on that tree of cursing, and the billows of wrath were waving over him, billowing over him, going down deep into his soul. He suffered the justice that you deserved. He suffered the wrath and the penalty that the law required on behalf of all who would believe. What a weight, what a burden, and what an exhibition of sacrificial love. There's nothing like it in all the world. Jesus Christ willingly, voluntarily, I'll die in their place. I'll suffer their wrath. I'll take their penalty. I will allow the sword of divine justice to fall upon my head instead of upon them. I will suffer. They will be spared. Any other religion is completely false and off base if you believe what Jesus said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He's the only one qualified to save. He is the way to God. Well, I noticed in verse 4, even in the midst of great distress of soul, Jonah has hope that he will once again enjoy the forgiveness of sin and the presence of the Lord. Though his body was in the belly of the whale, his soul cried out in hope, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Even though he had seemingly been deserted by God, Jonah cries out in faith, longing for forgiveness and the restoration of fellowship in the presence of the Lord. Jonah knew that the temple was where the mercy seat was, where the blood of sprinkling made atonement for sin. Jonah, by faith, was desiring to be reconciled to God and forgiven of his sins of disobedience and rebellion. He wanted to walk once again in the light of God's holiness, and he understood he must have cleansing by the blood. 1 John 1, verses 7 through 9. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God has a way of changing the affections of his people in times of chastisement. Jonah had formerly sought to flee the presence of the Lord, and now he desires it more than anything else in the world. He wants to be restored. Jonah had formerly enjoyed the special presence of God when he went to the temple to worship. You see, our whole purpose in living is not to get possessions, not to be reach levels of achievement where the world says, wow, you must really be great. You must have a lot of money. You must be prestigious and popular. No, our purpose is to exalt, to worship, to glorify, and praise the name of the Most High. That's the purpose of life for every child of God. Whether we eat, whether we drink, or whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God. Jonah, in the belly of the whale, realized this truth while he was far away from the temple, dwelling precariously at the bottom of the sea. Now next week, well, not next week, the week after, we'll get on to a description of Jonah's distress in verses 5 and 6, and it's very descriptive of his sufferings. So we'll pick up there.